Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Shabir Ahmadi, vaccinologist. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. Thank you for having
me. So how serious is the situation? We hear a lot of anecdotal things going on. The doctors that I speak to are absolutely exhausted. They're struggling to go on. But what are you seeing from your perspective?
Yeah. The situation in Gauteng is dire. And it's something that we've never experienced either during the course of the first and the second wave. And the bad news is that things are going to get worse over the course of the next 2 to 3 weeks at least, before it starts hopefully settling down. So the current levels of restrictions that were announced on Sunday have come way too late for there to be any material impact in Gauteng in the immediate future. And the reason for that is that usually hospitalization and death from COVID lags behind by about 2 to 3 weeks compared with the infections that are occurring in the community. So many of the people that are being admitted to hospital right now and over the next 2 to 3 weeks, infections that had already occurred prior to the lockdown, level 4 lockdown being announced. So unfortunately for Gauteng, an extremely dire situation. For other provinces, they might still benefit from the level 4 restriction because they still be about 4 to 5 weeks behind the curve compared to where Gauteng is currently, especially the Eastern Cape, Western Cape, and
so in other words, there's this delay as people require hospitalization. So even if the number of new infections start to drop, which it doesn't appear as though they are at this point, but even if that happens, you can still anticipate increased pressure on the hospital system for a week or so after that.
2 to 3 weeks, correct.
Two to 3 weeks, right, yes. Which is obviously very, very concerning, especially because it seems as though ventilation is a problem, oxygen's a problem, beds are a problem, staff is a problem already now. And the other thing that we've been understanding is that people are staying in hospital for longer, provided they survive, which means that there's very little relief for the hospitals.
That's correct. So in addition to this Delta variant being more transmissible, at least 60% more than what we've experienced in the past, it's also more virulent, which means it can possibly cause more severe disease. And that is based on one study, at least from Scotland, which indicates it's more virulent. So consequently, even people that otherwise might not have necessarily ended up in hospital if they were previously infected with an earlier variant, the same people, if they were now to be infected with the Delta variant, in the absence of previous infection, they would be more likely to end up in hospital. So it is a major concern and a challenge we face.
So are you saying that, because a lot of the experts that we've spoken to have said at this stage, they're seeing a greater transmissibility, but not necessarily a greater severity. Are you saying that some of the studies now are showing that it is more severe a variant?
So there's one analysis in Scotland specifically, which does suggest that it is more severe as well, or more virulent, which means a greater percentage of the people that are infected would end up in hospital. But I don't think that's the main reason what's driving the huge amount of hospitalizations in South Africa. What is driving the huge number of hospitalizations in Gauteng is simply because much more people are getting infected over a short period of time.
Mm. It's really just a numbers thing. Are we increasing our oxygen production and supply? I know that was one area where I thought that we were a little bit more under control. It doesn't seem to the extent that we needed it.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I'm not really able to pronounce on that because that's obviously the prerogative of government to ensure that oxygen supply as well as healthcare workers are in place. I'm not too sure what the status of oxygen is. I think it probably is under control. The bigger challenge right now for Gauteng is the number of healthcare workers that we've got. And where we've got close to 800 to 900 beds that were specifically developed to treat patients with COVID, those beds are not being utilized simply because we don't have adequate number of staff, nurses and doctors, to be able to actually manage patients if they were to get admitted to those beds, which is really a tragedy.
Do we conduct our own studies? excuse me, in South Africa. In other words, you just quoted a Scotland study. Do we conduct our own, or is there a, is it because they might have been dealing with it before that we can rely on this data?
So the NHCD does have a surveillance in place across public and private hospitals, which allow them to do this sort of analysis. But obviously, you're only able to do this sort of analysis after the wave has pretty much subsided. Yeah. So we need to base our current thinking on experience in other settings that have already experienced a resurgence with the Delta variant.
And that's been an advantage that we've had the whole way through the pandemic, is that we've been a couple of months behind the rest of the world. We could see what's coming. It also makes us more culpable, doesn't it? Because we could see what's coming. And we knew that the only way to curtail this is adequate preparation as well as an efficient vaccination rollout.
Absolutely. But at the same time, I think it has taken many people by surprise that the Delta variant became so dominant over such a short period of time in South Africa. So we did expect there to be a resurgence around about May to June, which is exactly what transpired. We should have been prepared in any case, irrespective of whether the Delta variant evolved or not in South Africa. But the Delta evolution of the Delta variant in South Africa certainly has compounded our failure to adequately plan to deal with this current resurgence, especially in some provinces.
So, yeah, is there any sense in terms of Gauteng, at least, how long until we peak?
It appears that it's somewhat difficult. I would expect us to now starting to plateau off with this current wave and then starting to come down after about 2 weeks.
Right.
That's what I would expect. And part of it is because of us now going to level 4 restriction. So that will contribute to start slowing the rate of infection. So again, the infections that we've seen this week, as an example, are people that were probably infected before the lockdown, and they're only becoming clinically symptomatic this week. So around about next week and the following week, then we should start seeing some impact of the level 4 lockdown, and it might well be that the virus was already peaking in Gauteng, because the daily rate of infection right now is at least closer to 3 times compared to what it was at the time of the peak of either the first or the second wave.
Unbelievable. Absolutely, absolutely incredible. In terms of vaccine efficacy, we're seeing studies saying that Pfizer's a decent option, AstraZeneca. Are you seeing any information around Johnson & Johnson?
So I would expect the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to work very similarly to the AstraZeneca vaccine, and that is after a single dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you should get at least 75 or greater percentage protection against severe disease. I'm not too sure how the vaccine is going to work in the long term and whether it might or might not require a booster dose of vaccine. But for severe disease, I think the Johnson & Johnson vaccine would work very similar to the AstraZeneca vaccine, which after a single dose provides 75% protection against severe disease due to the Delta variant. And after 2 doses, you've got 92% protection against severe disease right. due to the Delta variant.
And one of our listeners, before I let you go, one of our listeners saying, "Hi, Howard, I am terrified to go for my jab today in the middle of the worst surge. Can you ask Professor Mardy if I'm being too paranoid?"
So you certainly should go ahead to get vaccinated, but you need to ensure that you're wearing your face mask and you need to ensure that you're outdoors until your chance arrives to be vaccinated. And ideally, we should try to move the vaccination outdoors. But I think it's probably safer to get a vaccine right now than to delay it, because if you've already received, it depends again whether you've received your first or second dose of vaccine. For a second dose of vaccine, we probably could delay that a bit, but if you haven't been vaccinated, absolutely, you need to get that first shot in as quickly as possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just go. Just go. Wear 2 masks if you have to feel comfortable. Take hand sanitizer with you. Stay outside as much as you can, but go. Go, go, go. I think that is absolutely crucial.